Thanks to Dr. Sorrell, I now understand the Jackson burn wound model. Inconceivable. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today we hear about managing burns from our Director of Clinical Training, Dr. David Sorrell. This talk was recorded at last year's Urgent Care Boot Camp in Auckland.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let's hope we can keep you awake. So I'm going to be talking about burns. So Prometheus was a titan who created man from clay and defied the gods. By stealing fire and enabling civilization to develop, he was seen as the author of arts and science. As punishment, Zeus sentenced him to internal torment, bound to a rock, where each day an eagle was sent to feed on his liver, which would grow back each night, which tells you the immediate and amazing power of liver recovery, and it also says this is where we started with our burns. When we look at burns, the internationally recognized system is known as the Jackson's burn wound model. And once you understand this, you understand everything there is about burns. There are different levels or zones. You have the zone of coagulation, which is basically dead. The zone of stasis, where there is viable tissue, but intermediate. And then you have the zone of hyperemia, where there is very viable tissue with mild inflammation. So basically, to quote the Princess Bride, you have dead, mostly dead, and a bit upset. So here is an example of a burn where you can see all three layers present. And pretty much every burn can have all different types. And it's important that you can differentiate between these layers and types of burns. The management of burns can be very, very, very simple. Remove foreign material and clothing, cool within 4 hours at 5 to 20 degrees for 20 minutes, analgesia, tetanus, and then continue. The thing that I find most interesting, and I know this is a crowded side, is cooling. So what happens with cooling is the running water takes entropy or energy from the burn. So those two layers that you learned about, the zone of stasis and the zone of hyperemia, can be cured immediately, or at least that area can be less damaged. The thing about this is you've got to prevent hypothermia, don't use your ice. There's no evidence for burn gels, and at the same time, you can remove stuck clothing and debris, and most importantly, jewellery around burns. So when we go back to our model, you can see that you've got your epidermis, your dermis, and your fat layers. And so you have your layers of burns. So you have your epidermal burn, your superficial dermal burn, your mid-dermal burn, your deep dermal burn, and your full thickness burn. And so use your model superimposed with this. The ethics committee wouldn't allow me to burn a registrar for the purposes of this talk. However, said registrar was very happy for me to fall an artificial burn. This is how you assess burn depth. So I use a sterile cotton swab, but you use something that's clean and sterile. You look at the color before you touch it. Okay, is it white, is it red, is it pink? You touch it. Can they feel you touching that area of burn? You remove the sterile cotton swab, does the capillary refill return? And that's the assessment of burns in 10 seconds. It's obviously a little bit more complex than that, and this is a table talking about the thing. So your epidermal burns are basically your sunburn type thing. They're just entirely hyperemic. They are red, they don't have blisters, they have good capillary refill, they have great sensation, and they have healing. And then as you go down, those things vary, and we'll talk more about those when we go further into them. Sizing burns is important. Remember that the size of the burn is only burns deeper than epidermal, so dermal and full thickness burns. And you can use charts, so they have child and adult charts, you can use the rules of nines, or you can use the patient's hand The hand represents 1% of the burn. When you are documenting in your notes about a burn, you will always document the size of the burn and perhaps what percentage it each is. Now remember that sometimes that's not that easy initially, so the burn percentage may change over time. So it could start off as, I think it's 3% burn, and then the next day it might be actually 0.5% and the rest was only epidermal burns. So epidermal burns, basically sunburn, no blisters, red, good sensation, good refill, and you can see in the little diagram there, it's just on the epidermis. Superficial dermal burns, so superficial dermal burns are just below that upper surface, and they are well perfused, they're pink, they're very painful, they can have blisters, which can be small and large, and they will heal within about 2 weeks. Mid-dermal burns have blisters or peeled skin, good sensation, relatively good perfusion, and things are starting to get relative. They usually heal well with required dressings, and they can be very painful. They take about 14 to 21 days to heal. Deep dermal burns are difficult sometimes to distinguish from full thickness burns. They may have sluggish perfusion, they may be pink, they may be a little bit pale. Their sensation is variable, and they can be, as I say, very difficult to distinguish, and sometimes they may need grafting. Your full thickness burns themselves are usually relatively easy to determine because they are pale or, you know, physically burnt. They can be charred. They're discoloured. They are devoid of sensation. They don't hurt. They don't have capillary refill. But remember that each burn can have multiple layers, like onions and Shrek. The most controversial topic when you talk to anyone about burns is blisters. And interestingly enough, one of our registrars who's gone to England, Alex Calvey, sent the emergency department management of burns from his area, and it talked about pretty much de-roofing every burn. The science is very unclear. Sometimes de-roofing burns is useful and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it helps with infection, sometimes it isn't. There's very, very, very little evidence, and I think we use practicality. Does the blister impair movement and will it impair healing? If you think so, often you can do simple things like aspiration. And de-roofing, you know, if that's going to be a painful procedure, then I would probably consider just aspiration and see how it goes. So assessment of burns is, well, who is suitable for outpatient management? So they should have no threatened airway, they don't require fluid resuscitation, they're able to eat and drink, edible support for nursing and dressings, and adequate pain relief. And there is some interesting slides later on about exactly which ones. Interestingly, the definition of a minor burn is a burn that does not require hospital management. Obviously, there's the criteria. So the size of full thickness burns, the person, do they have illnesses, are they pregnant, and are they extreme of age? Special areas, remember the face, the hands, the feet, the perineum, the major joints. Is it circumferential? If it's circumferential on a limb or the chest, then that's worrying. And is there any inhalational injury? The glad wrap management is a transport dressing, so that is only used for burns that are going to other hospitals. The other dressings is where life becomes slightly complicated. There is very little evidence for burns. There's only evidence for what you shouldn't dress burns with, which we'll talk about in a second. For epidermal burns, you can use whatever you want. Moisturizer is all you need. And then the next set of dressings for your dermal level burns is, what do you have available? It doesn't really matter what it is, as long as it's not SSD. When the burns people talk about their dressings, they're usually looking at very expensive dressings that we don't have access to. And one of the things they're looking at is the weave of the pattern, and they're going for much narrower weaves now. SSD or flamazine impairs all burn healing and has no use in burns worldwide. People talk about how wonderfully cooling it is. You can put any gel in the fridge and put it on a burn and it will cool it. And it's generally accepted that everything heals slower if you put flamazine on it. So minor boon management, as we said, we've talked about the initial things, and then it's make sure that you've got the appropriate dressing available. There are some expensive dressings like Actacote, Aquacel AG, and Meplex AG. The advantages is the dressing doesn't need to be changed. In the burns unit, they clean all their burns with chlorhexidine, which is diluted. We don't have access to the pharmacology to dilute chlorhexidine, so saline is perfectly fine, and even water. The antibacterial dressings are a great idea, and we use really, really simple stuff where I work. We use Bactegras, which is chlorhexidine impregnated paraffin gauze, and it's great. It works really, really well, and it's cheap. You may consider using honey as a dressing. If you use honey, remember that honey contains Clostridium perfringens, Clostridium tetani, and so you have to gamma aerate your honey or make it a dressing. Honey dressings are really good. Important to reassess. And then aftercare. Oops, I'm not going to be able to do that, am I? Aftercare of burns. One last Greek thing, Icarus. Icarus was the son of Master Craftsman Daedalus, and he flew too close to the sun, and so his wings melted off. Aftercare for burns, moisturiser and avoid sun for a year.
My thanks to Dave for letting us use this talk. There are lots of useful little tips in this 10-minute lecture that will aid in your burn management, and I will now forever be thinking of the Princess Bride when I assess the depth of a burn. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions or corrections, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. I would particularly like to hear if any of you still use SSD in your practice. Now we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then. But for now, thanks for listening.